If you heard that a certain person confessed Christ and joined the church, that he had become a Christian and openly admitted it, wouldn't you have the feeling that that was a wonderful achievement and that now you could just rest at ease because there is another saved soul? Or if perhaps in a congregation, if you heard that a certain congregation had a revival service and a large number of people joined the church, some of the church members were rededicated. The attendance picked up, more people came to Sunday school, more people came to preaching service, more people came to prayer meetings. Wouldn't you be inclined to feel wonderful? Now things are really right. Even with ourselves, even maybe with yourself, as with myself, if you have been thinking for some time you should come closer to God, and then someday you're moved to take that stand, and you actually act, and you come to the Lord, and you commit yourself to Him, and you're blessed in your soul. The Holy Spirit shows you the things of Christ, and you rejoice in Him, and you're wonderfully lifted and helped and blessed because you know that you belong to Him and He belongs to you. Wouldn't you have a temptation in your heart and mind to feel, now it's done. Now we have it. I expect it's a good deal, and I don't mean any harm by this. I think it's a good deal like a young couple would feel when they got married. They'd been looking forward to their wedding. All the time they were courting each other, and then when they became engaged and they lived together in their happy fellowship and communion and love, they were just so happy in the expectation that one day they'd be married, and then they had the wedding, and a great big wedding with a lot of excitement, a lot of celebration, and now they're married, and that's it. But is it? You know better. That's the beginning of something. And the same is true with reference to accepting Christ. That's the beginning of something. That doesn't mean that it isn't real. That's the start of something. That's the first inning in the ball game. You've got 9 innings to go. The umpire has said, play ball. That's wonderful. Now we're underway. Now we go. That's the beginning of the trip. You've been going off for a summer trip, and you've been packing and getting ready and packing and getting ready, and now you were going to start away early in the morning. You remember, 5 o'clock, you didn't get away till 9, but finally you did, and finally you're in the car, and finally you're going, finally on your highway. It's all over. Is it? You know. You're started. Now you have the road. Now you have the trip to make. Now you have the journey. Now you're married. Now you have life to live. And all life to do it in. So now you're enrolled. Now you have the course to study and the examinations to write at the end of that time. So you got the job. Now you show up in the morning and go to work, and you work day after day after day after day. It's like that. Don't let that trouble you, and don't let it make you feel as if something improper. This is the way it goes. This is the way it's supposed to be. A man enlists. And he goes in the Navy. He signs up. He puts his name on the dotted line. He rides off to the barracks. That's the beginning of something. Now is his stretch in the Navy. That kind of thing. Not bad. That's what he enlisted for. And so it is with reference to Christ, only it's even more wonderful. It's the beginning of your life with the Lord Jesus Christ. But here is something that we need to have in mind. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, primarily, that has to do, really, primarily, with your sins. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the first biggest thing true about you is that you'll be forgiven your sins. You're reconciled to God. Now you belong to God, God belongs to you. Now, so far as your sins are concerned, they'll be forgiven. That's not all. You don't close the book. Now you keep turning page after page as you find out more of your relationship with God. God wants to live in you. He wants to help you. You'll have troubles coming up. He wants to be with you. You'll have problems coming up. He wants to guide you. You'll have work to do. He wants to strengthen you. You'll have living to do. He wants to be with you and to be in you. He wants to hold you by your right hand. Not that you should stand still. Not that you should sit down. Not that you should stay in a church pew all the days of your life and all the hours of the day and every day in the week. No, you're going to live, and He wants to live with you. Now, this thing of the Lord Jesus Christ living with you is made effective in you and possible in you by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that we all need to learn is that after you have accepted and received and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, which is the popular preaching, which everyone hears, immediately you should understand that you should receive and accept the Holy Spirit as your companion. Because just as the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, so the Holy Spirit is your companion. Now, if you're a young Christian, you're not supposed to be expected to know that. It isn't something that comes to you naturally. That's something you have to be told. And this is where the rest of us come in. We're supposed to tell you. We're supposed to guide you. Those of us who know the gospel are to help young Christians into the deeper fellowship with the Lord that is found in receiving, being filled by, and being indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, this that I am saying was pictured for you in the book of Acts. If you turn to the book of Acts in the 8th chapter and start in at verse 14, chapter 8, verse 14, you will find the story picks up here at the spot where, after Philip preaching in the city of Samaria, a large number of people believed. A great many people believed. Now look at in verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem, they were the leaders, they were the veterans, they were the men who really knew the gospel, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, the two greatest preachers they had, the most competent preachers they had, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not sure in the time I have that I can do justice to all this, and in the course of our study, I'll talk to you some more about it. But just now, I want you to notice this. When the church at Jerusalem, the mother church, the older Christians, the more experienced Christians, when they heard about the new converts down at Samaria, they sent the two best preachers and teachers they had, the most experienced men, and sent them down there to make sure that these young Christians would enter into spiritual fellowship with God, that they might have personal relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. It's just that important, and that's how it was here. I'm laying the emphasis on it this way because I'd like to say it to you. It's that important for you. I'm hoping that as some of you folks are listening to me, that you will get the impression that when we are presenting this Bible study and you're listening to me interpreting Scripture as I'm doing, I hope you will realize that we have something more to do than just to open up the Scriptures and interpret the Scriptures. We really have a point. We are interpreting the Scriptures. We do want to understand what the Bible says, but you know why? So that you and I might do it, that you and I in this might walk in it, because you know what I've got deep down the bottom of my heart? I have the feeling that in this country where I live, among all the people with whom I have to do, and right now the people who hear my voice, there will be many, many, many sincere, earnest people who are trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of the soul, who really are trusting Him to forgive them their sins, who know practically nothing about the Holy Spirit of God. I know that there are some churches specially emphasize this, and I appreciate that very much. But do you know there is not one single Christian church, not one single group of Christian people with the Bible in their hands? Do you realize not one of them that isn't supposed to have the Holy Spirit in their hearts? I mean by supposed to have. It's in the gospel for them. This is the intention. The Lord Jesus Christ never intended that you should make your way home alone. He wanted you to hear the gospel. He wanted you to know that He had died for you. He wanted you to know that your sins would be forgiven. He wanted you to know that God would receive you. And He wanted you to know the invitation was to come. And He wanted you to hear the call, come home. And He's been calling you to come home. But do you know He never intended you to find the way alone? Do you realize He never intended that you should live by yourself? He meant you to have the Holy Spirit in your heart. He meant you to have personal, daily contact with the Holy Spirit of God. We ought to help one another about that. And frankly, that's what this program is seeking to do with you. That's exactly what I have in mind. I hope that those of you who are listening, and I feel like I wish I could meet each one of you personally. I'd like to look you in the face and have you look me in the face. And I wish I could ask you whether or not this teaching of Scripture has been helpful to you, whether or not you have been strengthened by it, whether or not the things of the Lord have become clearer. And then I would like very gently but kindly and yet firmly to ask you, do you know about the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit? And I want to say this. If you're not sure about the Holy Spirit, I'd like to urge you, if you'll listen to this program, we call this program the Bible for you. And just now I could tell you we mean also the Holy Spirit for you. We mean the gospel for you. We mean Christ for you, the Lord for you, God for you. That's what we mean. Now, if you will be listening to this program, and you will pray for this program and pray for me, I'm going to do everything I can to show you how this has been available for you and is available for you. And by the way, do you have any friends that you think would prosper by listening to this program? Tell them about it. And I wonder if I could also emphasize to you this idea. Those of us who are putting this program on are just Christians like you, the rest of you. We're just human beings on earth, but we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I feel like saying, do you? Well, let's work together on this thing. You could work with us a great deal. You could pray for us. You could pray for this program. And you could invite people to listen to this program. And you could help us with this program. And in the meantime, open your heart to the Lord. He wants you to have the presence and the comfort of the Holy Spirit every day. Our God and Heavenly Father, draw nigh unto us, draw us nigh unto Thee, show us Thyself, and bless us. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.